Hello, my name is Joey Kelly, and you're listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I believe and preach the old-fashioned gospel, the same thing that Paul and the other apostles preached. Jeremiah 6, verse 16 says, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls." And that's what we're going to talk about today. If you have your Bible, please turn with me to the book of 2 Kings. 2 Kings chapter 7, beginning at verse 1. Then Elisha said, "Hear ye the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord, tomorrow about this time shall a measure of fine flour be sold for a shekel, and two measures of barley for a shekel, in the gate of Samaria. Then a Lord, upon whose hand the king leaned, answered the man of God and said, Behold, if the Lord would make windows in heaven, might this thing be? And he said, Behold, thou shalt see it with thine eyes, but shalt not eat thereof." Heavenly Father, once again, I'm honored to be in your presence. I'm humbled because I have the privilege of approaching your throne. And I know that in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. I know that my righteousness is as filthy rags. But it's because of Jesus Christ and what he did on Calvary, when he shed his precious blood. It's because of what he did in dying for me that I have the privilege of approaching you. And Lord, in his name I come. Nothing in my hand I bring, simply to thy cross I cling. Lord, help me to preach. And Lord, please touch the ears of those listening. Give them ears to hear and a heart to understand. And please stir something in them, in their hearts, that they would have a yearning and a desire to follow you in a greater way. And I'm careful to give Jesus Christ all of the credit. Lord, for anything that's accomplished today, certainly I credit the Lord Jesus Christ for it. And in his name, Heavenly Father, I pray. Amen. Then Elisha said, "Hear the word of the Lord." In another place in Scripture, it says that there was a famine in the land, not of bread or of meat, but of the word of God. And I believe that describes our world today. I think that describes the United States today. I believe that men's hearts hunger for a true word of God. I believe that they hunger for a true word from heaven. But Elisha says to the people, "Hear the word of the Lord." And he gives a promise. Tomorrow, about this time, a measure, some measure, I don't know, perhaps a pint or a cup or a gallon or something, of fine flour shall be sold for a shekel, and two measures of barley for a shekel in the gate of Samaria. And as we read this story, we understand that the Syrians were attacking Israel. They were laying siege or something to the land of Israel. They were trying to starve them out, essentially. And the man of God gives a word of encouragement, and says, tomorrow we're going to have enough flour, enough barley, what have you, that it's going to be sold for such and such. And as we read the story, we get the understanding that it was a very good price. It was a cheap price for such and such a measure of fine flour and barley. But then in verse 2 it says that a lord on whose hand the king leaned, in other words, this lord, this noble, this something, some position in the government this man had, he was a counselor and gave advice to the king. And the king leaned upon him, or again, depended upon him for advice, for wisdom, what have you. The man of God speaks and says that there's going to be bounty tomorrow. But this lord, this counselor to the king, his reply when he heard the word of God was to make a mockery. He didn't believe the word of God. He thought it was impossible that such a thing would come to pass. And he said, behold, if the Lord would make windows in heaven, might this thing be. And in a measure, he's right. All of our blessings, all of the things that come to us in life, the good things, truly, they're from the Lord. From heaven down to earth, perhaps through a window of sorts, or in a manner of speaking. But he wasn't being reverent. He was mocking. He didn't believe. And the prophet said to him, behold, thou shalt see it with thine eyes, but shalt not eat thereof. This lord, he gave advice to the king. Now, this is speaking of a government situation, but it is the land of Israel. It is God's land. Today we have preachers. We have churches, denominations, what have you. And all of the churches have a pastor, I would presume. And all of these pastors depend upon their deacons, or depend upon their board, or something. They do not work alone. They depend on others to help them to do the work of God. That's the position, essentially, that this lord had, helping the king. The deacons in our churches should help the pastor. And when God speaks, they should say, Lord, I believe. Lord, how can you use me, if you would use me, to help this thing come to pass? We should have reverent men. We should have humble men. We should have godly men taking positions in our churches. But because of this man's arrogance and unbelief and mocking, the prophet said that this lord would see the flour being sold at such a price, dirt cheap, but he wouldn't eat any. Moving on to verse 3, it says that there were four leprous men, men that had leprosy, at the entering in of the gate of the city. And they said one to another, why sit here until we die? If we say we shall enter into the city, then the famine is in the city, and we shall die there with everyone else. And if we sit here, outside the gate, we die also. They were starving. They were starving. They needed food. And again, it's because God's people were being attacked by the Syrians, and the Syrians were trying to starve them out. And they said, "Now therefore come, let us fall unto the host or unto the army of the Syrians. If they save us alive, we shall live. And if they kill us, we shall but die. Let's go over to the enemy. If they don't kill us, maybe they'll give us something to eat. But if they do kill us, well, we're going to die anyway." But it says that they got up early the next morning and they went out towards the host or towards the army or the encampment of the Syrians. And when they got there, it says that there were no people. There were no soldiers. There wasn't anyone in the camp of the Syrians. These four men expected to be captured, maybe interrogated, maybe tortured, and maybe, just maybe, be thrown a scrap of food. And they knew, because they were lepers, that they might have been killed when they were still 50 feet away from the camp, because no one wants to be around a leper. And these were Jewish lepers. Why should the Syrians let them into the camp? But these men were desperate. "If they save us alive," they said, "we shall live. And if they kill us, we shall but die." But they found the camp empty. No one was there, it says. And they went to the first tent, it says in verse 8, and they ate and drank. And they found some silver and some gold and some nice clothes. And they went and hid it. They went buried it in the woods, perhaps. And they came back and found another tent, and they ate the food there, and they took the stuff out of that tent, and they went and buried it under another tree. But in verse 9 it says, "They said one to another, we do not well. This day is a day of good tidings, and we hold our peace. If we tarry till the morning light, some mischief will come upon us. Now therefore come, that we may go and tell the king's household." They said, "This is a day of good tidings," or good news. "This is a day of good news, and we hold our peace." You see, these four lepers, they're symbolic. They're symbolic of sinful man. Leprosy, we understand, is a symbol of sin, a type of sin. Their leprosy represented sin and a corrupt sin nature that exists in every man. Remember, all men are born sinners. But these four lepers, these four sinners, if you will, they stumbled upon great wealth, silver and gold in every tent, all the nice clothes they wanted, and all the food they could eat. They were hiding the stuff in the woods. when a man comes to Christ, when he's born again, it's a wonderful thing. We do not, well, this is a day of good tidings or good news. I remember when I got saved. Perhaps you remember when you got saved. It was a great day, a great time. I struggled and labored in sin for so many years, but then my sins were washed away. The burden of sin removed off of my shoulders. I knew instantly I didn't have to smoke dope. I didn't have to chase women. I didn't have to go to the bars. God set me free. In my heart there was peace and joy and comfort and assurance that I was God's child. This is a day of good tidings. But you see, we can't stop there. When a sinner gets saved, he has a wonderful time. Hopefully he finds a good church. He begins to read his Bible, and God blesses him for some time, 6 months, a year, however long it is. He gets nurtured in the faith. But at some point, he needs to begin to tell others what he found. These lepers said, "Let's go tell the king's household. Let's go back to the city and tell the king, hey, there's stuff out here. Gold, silver, nice clothes, and anything and everything we wanted to eat." When a man becomes a Christian, at some point he needs to go tell others about the Lord that changed his life. You see, we must be about the Father's business. We must preach the gospel. That's what I'm doing on this radio station today. Preaching the gospel. Maybe you won't be on the radio, but maybe one day you find yourself sitting next to someone on the bus, and you strike up a conversation, and the conversation turns to spiritual things, and you're able to tell this person on the bus how God saved you and changed you. Maybe you can be involved in some ministry in your church or something, but we must tell others what we have found. We must. We have this treasure in earthen vessels. We must tell others. We must let our light shine. If Jesus saved us, well, certainly we need to tell others so that he can save them. I'm reminded of the parable of the talents. The guy that was given one talent, and a talent is some measure, some weight, an ounce, a pound, I don't know. And probably a talent was gold or silver, I would imagine. But the master said, "Here's your talent. Do what you can with it. And when I come back, I'll take an account." The two other servants that were given talents, they had more than him, but they invested, or they started a business, or they did something with that talent, with that charge that they were given. And when the master came, they had doubled what they were given, and they were rewarded by the master. But the master came to the guy that had the one talent and says, "Okay, let's see what you got." And that man produced the one talent that the Lord had given him and says, "Here's your talent back. I was afraid, so I hid it. I buried it. I sat on it." And he did not get an attaboy from the master. You see, if God has given us something, that's great. But we need to invest it. If God has given us salvation, we need to tell others. If God has forgiven our sins, or delivered us from drug addiction, or put our marriage back together, or something, He's done something for us. We can't sit by ourselves and say, well, that's good, I'm glad. We need to tell others what Jesus can do for them. The woman at the well, she had 5 husbands and was shacking up with number 6. We all know what I mean. Shacking up. But Jesus came by that well one day and found her in the middle of the day, drawing water, ashamed to go in the morning with all the other women. But Jesus met her need, and she was filled with living water. She found salvation. She found the Lord. She found in her heart what she had been looking for in all of these 5 marriages and working on number 6. But the text, if you read it, says that she left her water pot and went into the city. And she told the men of the city, come see a man. Everything I longed for all these years, He's given to me in one day. He satisfied the thirst in my heart. And they came out and went to Jesus. She did what these men, these 4 lepers, did. They found the goodness of God, but that wasn't enough. They had to go back and tell their friends, tell their family, tell someone else, and lead them to the bounty of God. And when these 4 lepers got to the city, they told the porters, a message was sent to the king. The king sent someone to investigate and found it to be true, that all the Syrians were gone and all the stuff was left in place. You see, in verse 6, it says, for the Lord had made the host of the Syrians to hear a noise of chariots and a noise of horses, even the noise of a great host. And they said one to another, lo, the king of Israel hath hired against us the king of the Hittites and the kings of the Egyptians to come upon us. In other words, mercenaries, a hired army. Therefore these Syrians, they arose and fled in the twilight, and left their tents, and their horses, and their asses, even the camp as it was, and fled for their life. And when the lepers got there, they found that everyone was gone. Remember that Israel was being sieged and attacked by the Syrians. But God gave a great deliverance to Israel without an arrow being fired or a javelin being thrown. The Egyptians were defeated. The wicked flee when no man pursueth, the Bible says. God delivered Israel that day by His great power. You see, we should trust in the Lord for our victories. We should trust in the Lord when we have a problem. We should depend upon the Lord because He has bounty. But to finish out this story, it says in verse 16, and the people went out and spoiled the tents of the Syrians. So a measure of fine flour was sold for a shekel, and 2 measures of barley for a shekel, according to the word of the Lord. And in verse 17, we get back to that Lord that mocked when the man of God spoke. It says that the king told that Lord to stand at the gate and to take charge of the gate, to make sure that there was order and what not. As the people that heard the gospel, the glad tidings, went out to enjoy the blessings of God, the food, the gold and silver, the raiment, etc. This man was put in charge of the gate, and as the mob rushed out to get the stuff, he was trampled to death. Just as the prophet said, he saw the flour and the barley being sold at such and such a price, but he didn't get to eat a bite of it. In verse 20, "And so it fell out unto him, for the people trode upon him in the gate, and he died." Again, when we hear the word of God, we should trust it and believe it and have a willing and obedient heart and receive the word of God gladly and not have a haughty attitude and spirit like this Lord. You've been listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I hope you've enjoyed the program today and pray that the Lord has convinced you to follow Jesus in the way. If you want to know more about the ministry, you can visit my website at joeykelly.net/ministry. That's joeykelly.net/ministry. And you can read about the missions work that I do down in Haiti. Or if you like, you can write me at 324 Codifer Boulevard, number 9. That's Codifer Boulevard, number 9, Metairie, Louisiana, 7005. And until next time, this is Evangelist Joey Kelly encouraging my friends to take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there.